Hello, friends. Welcome to another version of our podcast, the daily edition of the Deeper Podcast. This is the 9th of November and the start of a new week, new work week. I hope that you are walking in the favor of God today. He makes your lines to fall in pleasant places. Don't forget it. Receive of your inheritance today. The phrase that I hear in my own spirit as I record this is, be it unto you according to your faith. It's what Jesus said when he was asked if he could do something. Well, be it unto you according to your faith, whatever you believe. And so I say, what do you believe for today? We're continuing our journey through Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens, and I arrive at the 73rd Psalm today. This kicks off what would be in the Hebrew vernacular, the third book of the Psalms. The Psalms are really broken into a larger segment. That's not the right way to say that. They're broken into several different segments of collections of songs, like collections of song books is probably one way to say it. And most of the time in your study Bible, you will see these on the at the heading. So there are five separate books within the Psalms. This is the kickoff of the third book that runs from this chapter through the 89th chapter, and you can do with that what you will, just for your own understanding. This is a psalm of Asaph, so it's not a psalm of David, and it is yet another psalm of woe. It speaks of the tragedy of the wicked. It speaks of how the blessed trust God. But I've written several things in my margins over the years in the 73rd chapter that I've used elsewhere in preaching and teaching. And so I thought I would bring it together for you using this story and another Old Testament story that I'm pretty sure we'll get into even more as we proceed through the Old Testament. First of all, the psalm starts with a statement that is really, if it's applicable at all, it's only applicable in an Old Covenant world. It is certainly not applicable in a New Covenant world. It's Psalm 73:1. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. That is not a statement you would make under the New Covenant. Because Paul would talk about how Christ has grafted into the tree Gentile believers, and also God isn't evil to anyone anyhow. So the statement could be said through a New Covenant lens, not truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of pure in heart. The statement could be said, truly God is good to all. But the psalm continues on that very segmented path. And by segmented, I mean some people get it, some people don't. And it creates a very stark us versus them mentality that I think the New Covenant works hard to eradicate. You can't have Paul teaching men and there's no male, no female, no bond, no free, no Jew nor Gentile in Galatians. You can't have that as the foundation of the New Covenant understanding and then continue to build these stark lines between male, female, bond, free, Jew, Gentile. Those stark lines are the collective understanding of the writers of Old Testament literature. In Christ, things are different. Even Paul, and I said this the other day when we were talking about the women in ministry question, but even Paul seems to struggle with that. He's the author of In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. And yet, Paul is a little bit Jeffersonian in his attitude. On one hand, there's no such thing as male, female, Jew, Gentile, bond, free. On the other hand, women be in submission and slaves don't seek to be free. It's I say Jeffersonian because the same guy that writes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal, also owns 200 slaves. You can't look at those two things and consider them the same thing because they're not. And yet that struggle is evident in Paul. And that struggle is evident in the Bible as the writers adapt to what they're seeing. So as you work your way through Psalm 73, you see the difficulty of the righteous versus the success of the wicked. And then you get this verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary and I understood their end. And so it's kind of like I see the wicked prospering and being good, but I ultimately they're going to lose, they're going to die. It's a tragic chapter. I bring this up to you because it reminds me, and I wrote this in my margin some time ago, of the fifth chapter of Isaiah. And I know when we get to Isaiah, I'll do this again, but we'll do it in more depth there. Isaiah, in chapter 5 of his book, sings a song of woe. Everything woe. Everybody's bad. All around him, everything's negative. He has something negative to say about everything that's going on. And then he sees into the heavens, and a hot coal is taken off the altar and put upon his lips. And he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And it's interesting that he has spent all this time woeing everything. That's not really a word, but I'm going to use it. Woeing everything. And then when he sees heaven and he sees the glory of God or the goodness of God, he doesn't want to open his mouth against things anymore because he realizes that his lips have been unclean. And I think that's what the new covenant does. I think when we get a glimpse at the goodness of God, it changes our perceptions of stuff like truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure of heart. We start to realize, no, God's good to everyone. It's not just the guy who has a clean heart. I think the reason you see so much woe, negative, lament, is because we haven't had a revelation of the goodness of God. And then when we have that revelation, things change. And I think you can see that transpire in the New Testament as well, because you will see the New Testament writers. Paul's a great example. When he sees the glory of the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, he can no longer set his mouth against the way. What changed? The people in the way? No. Judaism? No. What changed was the revelation that Saul, who becomes Paul, has of Jesus. It's a lot like Isaiah. Nothing changed in the world around him, but what changed was his perspective. He could see through heaven's eyes. What we're trying to do in these Old Testament passages is see them through new covenant eyes. That way, we don't change the text, but we understand its application in our lives. We move on into Psalms tomorrow. See you then. God bless.